You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Our scripture reading today is going to be 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. And Father God, we just pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get started. Father God, we pause now to study your word. We thank you for the truth that you've written for us. And we have access to it freely. And we pray that it speaks to us constantly and helps us understand your purpose in our hearts, and that we would be approved in your sight, Lord. We thank you now for the time to come together here and fellowship with your word, and just praise your name for the forgiveness of the sins we have in you, and most of all for the eternal purpose that we find in Christ Jesus, which is to be with you in the heavenlies, Lord. We thank you for that, for it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. The verse here in today in 2 Timothy 4, 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. You know, we've seen a good example of finishing the course in the Winter Olympics here. You know, in Torino, from the 10th of February to the 26th of February, at Torino, Italy, we had the Winter Olympics. Now, I'm sure none of you saw that on TV, right? If it's like my house, we're pretty much glued to the TV. We had to have most of it on high-definition TV, which was really neat to watch until it went on the fritz in our house, so we went back to low definition. We really roughed it. But all the hype associated with the Olympics, if you were caught into it, you expected a lot more from some Olympians, and they didn't provide it. And there was big surprises from some Olympians that weren't supposed to do good, but they did good. And so it was quite a display of human talent in the Olympic spirit. And if you go to the website, there are many websites for the Olympics, but the fundamental principles of an Olympian, they have basically in their charter five principles. And this is from the official document, if you were to go and look that up. And here it says, Olympianism is a philosophy of life, exalting and combining in a balanced whole the qualities of body, will, and mind. You know, you constantly see, Kathy was saying, you know, she really didn't like to watch that cross-country skiing because it has to be really hard. She could relate to fighting up the hill with those skis, and just how exhausted they must be. And consequently, they would have to have a strong will and really be determined in their mind that they were going to finish that race. Often I would notice in time trials, they would, you know, list all the time, all the downhill skiing, you know, and bobsled, and they would list all the times. And I noticed, you know, the top three get a medal. You know, that's it. But there's maybe, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 athletes putting a time in this competition. And I would look and I would notice that even in the top 10, there's no more than a second difference. You know, hundreds of a second between a medal and not a medal. You know, that was amazing. I was sitting there going, how would you deal with being 10th place when you're 700 seconds off a medal? You would really have to have peace of will and knowing that I was really close. I was, you know, a world competitor in the Olympics. And I'm in the top 10, you know. The goal of the Olympian is to place sport at the service of the harmonious development of man, with the view of promoting a peaceful society concerned with the preservation of human dignity. You really get into the philosophy here. It's really very humanistic. And, you know, the practice, they say here, the practice of sport is a human right. Every individual must have the possibility of practicing sport without discrimination of any kind in the Olympic spirit. It requires a mutual understanding with the spirit of friendship, solidarity, and fair play. The organization and administration and management of sport must be controlled by independent sports organization. Basically, they said you have to come together. It has to be fair. It has to be competitive. And we all celebrate the Olympic spirit as they come together and compete. And, you know, the five rings in the Olympics stand for the five continents that they said bring the people together. And it symbolizes a ceasefire or a peace treaty when you come together with the Olympics. You know, you have the symbol of the dove represented in the peace treaty and all that. Well, the games, the medal count in the games in Torino, we were in the top five. But Germany was the first with 29 medals, and we were second with 25. They had 11 gold, 12 silver, and 6 bronze, and we had 9 gold, 9 silver, and 7 bronze. So behind us was Canada, then Austria, and Russia were the top five. But the theme of Torino was, if you saw it, it said, "Passion lives here." I don't know if you saw that, but the Today Show, we watch Channel 4 constantly, was out in Torino, and they always went into, you know, the community and did cooking, and they had, who was a singer? They had, Andrea Bocelli came sing for them, which was really good. But as I recount the Olympics, I really said, you know, the scriptures often use running a race. So there's really something about this. The fundamentals of Christianity, if we were going to run a Christian Olympics, what would we have for our philosophy? Well, the Olympics demonstrate many athletes who have dedicated their lives to being swifter, stronger, faster. You know, as Christians, do we demonstrate the same qualities in our Christian walk? You know, do we stand there and, "Lord, help me, you know, run this race for you, swifter, stronger, faster"? We really, you know, we are swift to church on Sunday because we're always running late, right? But when there's an opportunity during the week, are you prepared to run that race? And you know, the Christian race, you know, what should be our motto? You know, the rings, you know, you could take instead of the five continents. I said a Christian Olympic rings could be this. You could have black, red, white, green, and gold. The black obviously would stand for sin. The red, the blood of Christ. White is the forgiveness of sin. Green is our Christian growth. And gold is our heavenly calling. You know, hence the wordless bracelet, or if you ever seen the colors of that story. But Turn to Psalms 19, chapter 19, verse 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Well, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The line is gone out before the earth, and the words at the end of the world. And then hath he set the tabernacle before the sun, which as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. He goeth forth, his going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of the earth, and the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. And they're saying, you can talk all night, you can show all your knowledge, but it's amazing how the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, you know, he burst out of that chamber and rejoiced as a strong man to run a race. You know, there are plenty of Olympians who are strong. And to run that race or to shift those skis in the snow really was an example of the excitement of the Lord there. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, it says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know you not that they which run in a race run all?" You know, everybody's in the race, but only one receives the prize. It says, "So run that you may obtain." You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, you know, just it's okay to be in the race, and you know, if you just kind of meander through it, it's okay. You know, you were a participant, but really, 1 Corinthians says, so you need to run that you may obtain the prize. There's a certain attitude associated with that competition, and to be competitive, you have to commit yourself, have a strength of will, have the competitive nature in your heart. But here it says, it's for the gospel's sake. Run so you may obtain. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. That's a great faith chapter. I'm going to read there. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Okay, run with patience. That's giving us an idea now of kind of the conditions that you're running. Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, you have not resisted yet unto blood, striving against sin." He paid the ultimate price for us. And here, we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. What is that race? Do we race to salvation? Well, it says here, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, it seems a really fast race to be saved. You can ask the Lord Jesus in your heart, and you become saved. Well, there's something said that when you come saved, boy, you're riding high, you're there, you've survived the sin that was set before us, and you've become victory of that sin, and you just don't sin anymore. You just kind of go out and have a great time and say, "Boy, I'm saved." Well, the reality of it is, you are now, when you're saved, you've entered the race. Okay, there's a walk. We are now Christians, and He's asked us to walk as Christians. And He's telling us it's a race set before us, and we're to run it with patience. Well, if He were to have an Olympics, how would we run that race? Well, the secular Olympic motto is Sitius, Altius, Fortius, and in Latin it means swifter, higher, stronger. As Christians, we look not within ourselves to achieve these goals, but we look to Christ Jesus, who is the eternal gold medalist in this event. You know, and he passes out those medals. And this is Paul here in 2 Timothy. He said he finished the course, he kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know, he was seeing himself on that medal stand because he did what was called of him his whole life. Well, there are certain scriptures. When you look at this, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, says, there are six things that the Lord hates. And if, our walk's going to be swifter, higher, and stronger. Proverbs 6:18. Are we going to let our feet be swift to running to mischief? Okay. Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 15, it says, their feet are swift to shed blood. James 1:19 says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Okay. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick. You know, speed and quickness and is good and bad. Are you going to be swift in running to mischief? Instead, are you going to be quick to the word of God? It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge. Okay, we got judges in the Olympics, right? Here's the ultimate judge. He says, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom? Well, Paul knew at the end of his race, he was looking to the Lord Jesus at that judgment table. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. This is the conditions of our race here. Well, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust, they shall keep themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Okay. Well, we want to go higher. Swifter, higher, stronger. Psalms 148:13 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. Psalms 8:1 says, Our Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. You know, it appears to me if we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies, there can't get any higher than that. Luke 1, chapter 32 says, He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of David his father. Isaiah 55:9 says, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Ephesians chapter 15. Well, that'd be a whole new thing there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Really, you go down to verse 20, 21. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You can't get any higher than Christ. We as Christians are members of the body of Christ, seated far above all principality and power. He's given us that higher because we're with Him. Now, stronger. You know, in Psalms 33:16 says, There is no king saved by the multitude of hosts. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. You know, strength is an issue with me because I always felt I was pretty strong, you know. I'm a big bone guy. I've heard that from the surgeon, you know. You know, I said recently with a stroke I wrestled with, I was okay because my first stroke was attacking my left side, but I'm a right-handed guy. And I would say, well, you know, I'm okay as long as it doesn't affect my right side. Well, this last one was affecting my right side and my speech. My so-called strength, because I'm right-handed and I speak a lot in my work and I have to have my strong suit to support me. And this was reminded me that, you know, you can't trust in your flesh. You have to trust in the Lord. And I was reminded of that this last time. Jeremiah 9:23-24 said, Thus saith the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Boy, that hit home with me. Well, finishing the course, swifter, higher, stronger. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're back to the scripture reading today, verses 7 through 8. You know, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hence there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. We won't be separated by seconds, okay? We won't be on that list of, you know, 220 Olympians, and only three get the award. He says, we get that crown of righteousness unto all of us that love is appearing, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Romans 10:17 reminds us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The faith is that body of truth. You know, God was given and revealed for faith obedience. The faith concerning our walk or our race is in the mystery. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. It's how we should commit ourselves to finish the course. And having done so, if we keep true to our calling, we will have kept the faith. And when He calls us home, we will have that gold medal ceremony like Paul did. But instead of a ribbon, the crown of righteousness will be given to us. And in that way, I'm a Christian Olympian. Okay. You are too. So let's end in prayer and praise God for the course He's set before us. Father God, we thank You for this scripture here that we're to run the race with patience that's set before us. And that race is our calling, Lord. Is to be in the Scriptures rightly divided, to be a good testimony for Your Word every day. And as we run, we pray that You give us strength of will and purpose in our heart. We would be a true testimony to witness of Your Scriptures, and most of all, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank You for this, for it's Christ's name we pray, and for His sake, amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.